The views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers of Radio Free ARFCOM do not necessarily reflect those of AR15.com, BBS Radio, or their advertisers. When any techniques, skills, or theories are presented, they reflect the practices and opinions of the individual presenting them, but not necessarily those of Radio Free ARFCOM, AR15.com, or BBS Radio. In all circumstances, Radio Free ARFCOM, AR15.com, and BBS Radio expressly disclaim any liability that may result in the use or misuse of any information featured in this program.
Transmission begin.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here we go.
Let's go.
All this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death.
Radio Free ARFCOM starts now.
And welcome all my fellow ARFCOMers out there in ARFCOM land. I'm your host, John Gold. This is Radio Free ARFCOM, and we've got another great show lined up for you today. We're going to start off with our usual list of suspects to open the show. We've got Joe DeBurgles coming on here in just a minute. I've got a special guest that I did announce on the show announcement, Matthew Carmel from Constitution Arms. He had a little bit of an interesting story to tell. We're gonna get him on here shortly as well. We've got Tom from Spikes Tactical coming on, and he's got a whole bunch of free stuff to give away. We've got a short bit from Piccolo tonight. We're going to hear from Piccolo. We've got John Wayne Tucker coming on. He's a congressional candidate in Missouri with some very, very good things to say about Second Amendment rights, and he's the type of candidate that ARFCOMers would really love to get behind. So if you live in Missouri, especially in the St. Louis area, I believe that's where he's from, you need to listen later on in the show when we get John Wayne Tucker on. He's famous for producing his campaign advertisement with him holding his AR-15, and he's actually got a sidearm on as well. We're also going to have a get-to-know with one of ARFCOM icons, Subnet, so we've got a great show. Without further ado, let's go straight to Joe DeBurgles. Joe, how are you today?
Great, John. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great. Couple of things I wanted to talk about with you today. The first was this bill in Florida that's got something to do with adoption agencies forcing potential adopting couples to register their firearms.
Yeah, John, what's happening down there? Again, Marion Hammer, former president of the NRA, is our chief lobbyist down in the state of Florida. And as you might expect from a feisty old grandmother, she keeps us alert and on our toes as to what potential infringement upon our Second Amendments may be happening in the Sunshine State. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, so we need people in the Florida area who are listening. House Bill 315, it will be debated. And we need people to show their support for this. And basically what it does, it stops the gun registration for adopted agencies, meaning when adoptive parents or those seeking to adopt a child are going to be interviewed to place on a potential list to receive a child into adoption to bring into their family, they're being asked a series of questions to outline how many firearms they have in their home. Some agencies are telling them they have to how to safeguard them, and they have to forego their constitutional rights in order to get one of the most precious commodities or precious beings that we have, a child. So a lot of people, because they want the child so desperately, are saying, yes, this is answering the questions truthfully, but they shouldn't really have to go through that, John.
No, really shouldn't. So let me get this straight. As it stands now, they have to register. This bill will make it so that they no longer have to register. Is that correct?
Correct. There's a variety of laws currently affect in Florida, which prohibit this very thing. Gun registration is not the law down in Florida. But what's happening now, these adoptive agencies are requiring the residents of Florida, if they're so inclined, to give up that right and to list and document their firearms. So in order to get that child, a lot of them are saying, here we go, They want that Powell desperately. So it's imperative that our ARFCOMers in Florida pass the word along and call down to the respective legislators to make sure that this doesn't happen and this bill is passed.
Okay, you heard it, ARFCOMers. Get on the horn with your local legislators. This bill is being debated tomorrow in Florida. So if you live in Florida, you need to get on the phone, get on the fax machine, get on the emails, and send it out. Let them know that you support HB 315. You support the bill, which will make it so that the adoption agencies cannot force potential adoptive parents to have to register their firearms with a governmental agency. One more thing I wanted to talk to you with about today was there was a story that came out here last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. I think it was a Huffington Post story, although I could be wrong. And they were trying to say that AR-15 ownership was gun sales and AR-15 sales in particular were on the decline and that ownership was on the decline. But we found out that that's actually not even close to the case.
Correct you are, John. It wasn't the Huffington Post. It was blogged by Josh Sugarman. Most of our listeners may understand or may know that he's the chairman of the Violent Policy Center, VPC, a longtime anti-gun group. And he made the claim that AR-15 gun ownership is on the decline. And in actuality, as most of us in our common land know, that it's on the increase, the deep increase. It's one of these things where the BATF, and they hit an explosive, so it's BATFE now, came out with their latest numbers in 2008. They were stating that just over 330,000 AR platforms were out there. And the best of our recollection, from 2008 to the present time, that's going to go to approximately 2.5 million in private ownership here in the United States. And I'm sure due to the good people like your upcoming guest, Tom from Spice, it's because of what we have out there and how we're recreating with them and that the AR platform is being accepted as a hunting rifle and our three-gun matches and event zombie shoots and what have you, more and more people are availing themselves to the AR platforms, which is great news. Totally that's contrary to what Mr. Sugarman said, but nonetheless, a lot of those people don't let truth get in the way anyways.
So that increase there, I mean, that's an amazing increase. I mean, you're going from a few hundred thousand up until the millions in less than a year. Now, you talked about people using it for more hunting. Now, is that because there's been newer ammunition that makes it easier to take a larger game down with an AR-15?
Truly. There's new calibers are coming out there. You got some Wildcat calibers. You got some of the tried and true. But it's being more accepted. And I think that's one thing we need to work on in our community, the pro-gun community, where we don't drive the divisions between hunters and aficionados of the black rifle and what have you. Because we take the wood off and put black furniture on, a lot of those firearms are, not a lot of them, they are the same. So we need to make sure that we advocate for the entirety of our rights, not just certain segments.
Okay, one thing I wanted to touch on real quick, and I didn't bring this up with you during the week, was we have the annual meetings coming up, right?
Are you sure?
The NRA meeting?
Yeah.
And I guess some of the entertainment has been announced. Some of the special guests and celebrities are going to be there. Do you know of some of the names that are going to be there?
Yeah, they made an announcement, and I encourage anyone listening who's so inclined to go into the annual meeting, the NRA annual meeting in Charlotte this year, North Carolina, to go to www.nraam.org, and you'll see a total listing. But scheduled to appear, Sean Hannity, we have Sarah Palin, Mitt Romney, Charles Daniels Band, and a variety, Huckabee, Governor Huckabee is going to be there. And there's a variety of people they're bringing forward to have their usual leadership forum and their celebration of American values. It's going to be a great, the vending areas have been sold out for a long time. It's going to be a great opportunity for people to gather, discuss. I'll be there. Be more than happy to welcome anybody from Marfcom land there. Look forward to seeing the members. I'm also going to be participating, John, on a panel to the grassroots division called In My Own Words. I did it before a few years back, and we had a great time, so we'll be out there making a presentation. So I look forward to seeing everybody out there, but it's a great opportunity, and if you're so inclined, love to see you in Charlotte.
Sounds like a great time for everyone. I want to remind everyone before we let Joe go, If you have not cast your ballots and you are a voting member of the NRA, please cast your ballots. Check out the ARFCOM endorsed candidates. And also, I believe we're going to have one more candidate who's not an ARFCOM endorsed candidate, but he fits in very well with some of the issues that we all agree on at ARFCOM. And we're going to have him on next week. Is that right, Joe?
We are. Graham Hill, a great advocate. He's a good man. You'll really enjoy his interview. He's an advocate for all of us, and he's an inspiration for me personally. But you'll get that in the interview next week.
Outstanding. Hey, I appreciate you being on with us every week, and I look forward to talking to you next week, Joe.
Okay, John, have a great show. Bye-bye now.
Okay, you too. That's Joe DeBurgoles. He's an NRA board member. He's our first ARFCOM-endorsed candidate, and we've got more ARFCOM-endorsed candidates for this year's NRA board election. Go check them out in the news and announcements. Goat Boy put a thread up there for ARFCOM-endorsed candidates for the NRA. Our next guest coming on, his name's Matt Carmel. He owns a company in New Jersey called Constitution Firearms. Constitution Arms is exactly the name of it. And he had an interesting story. His story is on NRA ILA. It's the outrage of the week this week. And I'm going to read a little bit of this story while we're getting Matthew online here with us. Here's the story on NRA ILA. This week's outrage comes to us from New Jersey, where a firearms dealer, pistol instructor, and proud NRA member Matt Carmel's application to sponsor a youth baseball team was summarily rejected by the local baseball league. The problem started last October when Carmel sent a letter to the South Orange Maplewood Baseball Committee, which oversees 120 softball and baseball teams in the area. Since Carmel's son had played on a league team since the season before, Carmel wanted to sponsor a team himself, but in an 8-1 vote, the volunteer committee declined his application. And we've got Matt Carmel on now. Matt, how are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir.
It's good to hear from you. Thanks for being on and spending some time with us. I know you're really busy. Can you go over this a little bit and tell us what happened? What's going on here with this volunteer committee? They like tobacco and liquor advertisers, but they frown on firearms advertising. Is that how it works?
Oh, that's part of it. I had applied to them back in October to sponsor a team. My son had played for 2 years, and so I applied to them for to become a sponsor, and they hemmed and hawed for several months, and I finally heard back from them about a week before they were ready to issue uniforms and start practice, and they had given me a terse email saying, thanks but no thanks, and they were not giving me a reason. But it was pretty clear, you know, why they were not letting me sponsor. What was galling to me, though, was the fact that who they do allow to be a sponsor. You know, they do allow these, like a Quick Check, which serves, which sells tobacco, and a bar, which sells liquor, and a chicken franchise business called Cluck You Chicken, which was an obvious play on profanity. Right. And they have a T-shirt in the restaurant which shows a woman scantily clad, rather buxom, and the tagline is big breasts, juicy thighs, and luscious legs.
Oh,
and
wow.
Somehow this was deemed appropriate for children, and a firearms business, you know, with something that's rooted in our culture and traditions, was somehow deemed inappropriate. And I just, you know, it sort of got me angry, and I said, you know, I'm not going to let this stand, and I you know, made a stink about it. That's what happened. You know, hit the news and all that kind of thing. Another thing that happened to me, though, just to add insult to injury, MorrisRugby.org, this company, this rugby team had contacted me and said, you know, well, we'd be proud to have you as a sponsor. And I was really excited for that, and I met with them on the Sunday, a week ago Sunday. I hand-delivered a check. They gave me a tie and a sweater, and I went on national TV on Fox and Friends on Tuesday morning, and I promoted them on national TV. When I got back to my office from the city, I had received a phone call from the president of Morris Rugby, who told me that they had received so much pushback from their sponsors that they too were dropping me as a sponsor.
Oh my
and they had been receiving money and checks, and I was all prepared to, you know, to really go the distance for them and really, you know, have people say, hey, you know, you support this company, this organization supports the Second Amendment. I want everybody to send them a dollar. And I was going to do all that kind of stuff for them. They didn't have any integrity. They just reneged on an agreement. We have a written agreement, you know, a signed letter. My money was exchanged, and that was not good enough. The gentleman said he has an organization to protect, but obviously he doesn't care about protecting his honor.
That's horrible.
So
now, do you have any...
how it ended. So I decided not to sponsor any team in New Jersey because as soon as, you know, I know it's, as I say, it's cliche that to say that freedom's not free, but it costs something. You can't support a controversial subject and something as important as the Second Amendment unless you it takes an ounce of flesh, which means that you're going to sponsor someone like me or allow me to sponsor, and when you get pushback from other sponsors, you're going to have to say, well, I'm sorry, but we stand for something. And no one's willing to do that. And so anyone who came to me afterwards said, oh, we'll do it, I'm like, no, you won't, because as soon as you come under pressure, you're going to cave like the rest of them. And so I decided I'm not going to sponsor anyone because there's no one to be trusted.
Oh, that's horrible. That's terrible. So do you have no more recourse with the baseball committee? Once their vote is down, then that's that, huh?
Yeah. Look, I made the point. It's hypocrisy. It's this liberalism which and political correctness, which makes no sense whatsoever. They always say it's about the children. Well, if you really care about children, then you would teach them firearm safety. If you really care about the children, then you would have a firearm in your house for self-defense so you can defend your family. That's if you really, really love your children. And that's why I do this. I was accused of doing this for, you know, self-aggrandizement and all sorts of other reasons. And I don't deny I am a businessman, and, you know, it doesn't hurt to have publicity. But whether people will believe me or not, I do this. My activism in the Second Amendment is for my son and my daughter. I want my daughter, when she goes across this campus one day when she's in college, and someone tries to attack her, I want my daughter to have her life preserved. And there's only one way for my daughter to be on equal footing with a 200-pound rapist, and that's with a firearm. And that's why I do this. That's why I advocate. That's why I invented the palm pistol. That's why I'm an NRA instructor. That's why I'm involved with the NRA. I do it for my two children. That's what I'm teaching them, what love means.
Absolutely. You won't get any arguments here.
Right.
It's really refreshing to hear someone talk like this and at least be able to get it out into a public forum somewhat, even though you have been rebuffed by the teams that you've sponsored. You talked about the palm pistol, and I didn't even know that you had this product called the palm pistol, and I went and checked it out earlier today. This is a neat little thing, I have to admit. I've never seen anything like it before. For our listeners, go to palmpistol.com and check this out. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about it and how you came up with the idea and what exactly it is?
Well, I teach, as I said, the NRA First Steps pistol class, and I teach a lot of women and seniors, and some folks have had some disabilities, and even guys have a hard time loading a cartridge into a magazine, or they can't rack a slide. I had one woman about a month ago who could not rack the slide on a Walther P-22. You know, and that's the easiest gun. I teach my 10-year-old boy how to shoot with that. And so I was sitting in my basement with a T-handled screwdriver one day, you know, in my basement shop, and I was just had it in my hand, and I was just thinking, you know, there's got to be a better way to have a firearm that's suitable for people with weak hands. And I had this T-handled screwdriver in my hand, and then the light bulb went off, and I realized, hey, this is the right way to do this. Use your thumb, not your index finger. And I drew a sketch. And I started talking. This is back in 2004. And I started talking it around to some of the local shops just to see what their feedback was. And to a T, everyone was telling me this is a stupid idea. It'll be considered AOW by the government, blah, 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 blah. And I was getting ready to let the matter drop. But I used to work for the government. I used to work for OSHA many years ago. And I said, I'm an expert at reading the CFR. Let me read it myself and read the definition of standard pistol, which I did. To make a long story short, my design meets the definition of standard pistol. So I hired Steve Halbrook. Maybe you've heard the name. He's a very well-regarded attorney who specializes in ATF matters, and he represents the NRA. He argued, I believe, at the Chicago, the McDonald versus Chicago case recently.
Okay.
And he wrote a brief for me, and lo and behold, the ATF agreed. My design was standard pistol, not AOW. When I got that letter from ATF, which is posted on the webpage, then I knew I was golden, that I had a great design. And I've been working on it ever since. And as we speak, I'm cutting steel this week for the first working prototype. I got $50,000 worth of finite element analysis, FEA analysis, it's computer simulations. I've got a ton of money in design work. I have all the design complete. Now I have to go to prototype and endurance testing. And once that's complete, then I can go into getting quotes for production and assembly and hopefully have this thing on the market sometime by the end of this year, maybe early next year.
This is a really interesting design. What are the dimensions on this?
The rough dimensions, it's about maybe 3 by let's see, the overall dimensions. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I know it's 3 tall, about 3 inches tall, and about maybe a little longer than that, about maybe 3.5 long.
Okay, so
like
the
that.
Barrel's maybe only a couple of inches in?
Yeah.
And how do you load it? There's like a hinge.
Yeah, there's a latch on one side where you push with your thumb. The barrel swings laterally. It's sort of the closest analogy in firearms design that I could really identify would be a Derringer. But you know, a Derringer barrel hinges in a vertical plane. My barrel hinges in a horizontal plane.
Right.
There's two grip safeties on the dorsal and ventral sides of the barrel, the forward edge of the stock. And then the triggers are those two the buttons on the distal ends of the stock. They're dual triggers, so either one of those buttons will release the striker. So it's bilaterally symmetrical and ambidextrous. There's trigger covers that swing out of the way. They're spring loaded.
Oh, okay.
So it's single shot. You press the latch. The barrel swings open laterally. It's a chamber for 38 special. You'll load, close the barrel, and then you're ready to fire.
Okay,
it has
so there is a
lot of safety features
in
it. It has a cock striker indicator, a loaded chamber indicator. It has the two grip safeties, has the trigger covers, has a hand guard, has a striker guard. There's just so many features I have in there that are really designed to prevent and preclude any kind of accidental discharge. It's going to be drop tested. It's going to be extremely endurance tested. It's out of 4140 steel. This is going to be made like a very substantial, substantially made product. The fit and finish is going to be very fine.
Yeah, this is a really interesting idea. I see you can also put a laser on it, actually, huh?
Right, there's an optional rail. You know, some argue that might be silly, and perhaps it is, but a lot of people want it. I've had a lot of people request it, so it's an option. The Picatinny rail will attach the front edge of the handguard, and you can attach one of those mini lasers to it, or a light, or any number of things.
Well, I would think that if it comes down to you're using this as your last shot, as your last shot at some defense, you wouldn't want to miss. So maybe the laser is a great idea on it.
Yep. Yeah, because there's advantages and disadvantages to a single shot. The advantage to a single shot is that if you're a senior or very weak, the criminal can't take it from you and use it on you. And sure, I'd love to have a cannon with me, but is that real from a practical standpoint? Is that really going to happen? No. And for someone who's missing an index finger, this is ideal. It's also ideal as a backup gun for police. I believe the number is 12 or 14% of law enforcement officials who were shot and killed in the line of duty are killed with their own gun from gun grabs. My gun can be easily fired with the weak or offhand. So if it's carried in the officer's offhand side, it can be used to fend off a gun grab.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's very cool. Now, you actually had this approved as a medical device for a period of time. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it is a medical device. It really and truly is. It is an adaptive aid. It's a recreational adapter. The FDA is the one who told me that it was a medical device. I wanted to advertise it in AARP magazine and in Arthritis Today magazine. And I forget who, or someone said to me, you know, Matt, you better check with the FDA about that because that might be prohibited. So I called the FDA, I explained my product, and I asked them, is this a medical device? And they said, yes, this very well might be. And I asked, what is the procedure for getting it approved or evaluated? They told me. I went through the process, and I this happened to Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving of 2008. And I got this very cryptic email from them which said, now that you've been told your design is likely to be regulated as a medical device, here are the following steps you must do. So I called my contact at the FDA, and he was working from home that evening, and he literally walked me through their online FIRLS system, which is an online system which allows medical device manufacturers to register their establishments and get their medical devices listed. He personally walked me through the system and got me registered as an establishment and my device listed. And when it was all complete, and he spent about an hour with me on the phone, when it was all complete, he said, I asked him, can I enter commerce now with this device? And he said, you are good to go. I quote his exact words. So I issued a press release saying that the FDA had approved this as a medical device, or had listed it. I didn't use the word approved. I said listed. And then you know what hit the fan.
Yeah.
The news media, I was all over the place. The same thing that happened with this chicken incident with the baseball league. I was all over the news, interviews, you know, unbelievable. And the Brady campaign got wind of it, and they got their undies in a bunch. And they used some political powers of persuasion and convinced the FDA to rescind the registration. It's never, I don't think it's ever been done before. And the FDA claimed in their press release that it was listed in error. Of course, it didn't say whose error. And it was, that was the bottom line of that. So I let that slide, and I may revisit it at some future point, because I do believe that this design should be reimbursable, if not through Medicaid, or Medicare, but perhaps through private insurance companies. So that was my goal, was to have it reimbursable for people who need it, for elderly, seniors, disabled, those who can ill afford a firearm and who need it for self-defense.
I really like the idea of a product for that purpose. I remember when my grandfather, before he died, he literally couldn't even barely close his hands because they were so arthritic, and there's no way he could have fired a gun in self-defense, but he easily could fire this. So you say it's going in production next week. How long before?
I'm producing my first working prototype this week. I'm cutting steel this week on the first working prototype. I won't know about. I don't have the exact timing for production until I go through the testing. I have to produce this prototype, and it has to be endurance tested. I'm going to do a rather extensive testing on it. And if the design it's a very robust design, but it has to be confirmed through this real world testing. And if the design is confirmed as being, you know, safe and so forth, then I will be able to go into production. But I will not, obviously, produce a product which is not first class.
Oh, absolutely. And you've got liability issues you will be dealing with. So you got to make sure everything is on the up and up, and all your R&D is solid and backed up.
Right.
I really appreciate you being on with us today. Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I was just saying that it's funny how I've been on your blog before, because I know there were a lot of blog comments about the palm pistol early on, and it was sort of, you know, disheartening, because a lot of, you know, I get a lot of grief from the anti-gunners, but I get a lot of grief from the pro-gunners too, which really surprises me. You would think that people on my side want to support what I'm doing, but I got a lot of claims that I was some kind of a scam artist, that it was a make-believe thing, and it was that I was probably an anti-gunner posing as a gunner, you know. It just was very surprising, and I just hope people realize that this is for real. I'm a serious supporter of the Second Amendment. This is hopefully going to be a product that will be on the market and will work as designed and intended.
Yeah, it's sad when we turn on our own. We've got enough problems from the outside, especially from the left, and we start turning on each other as gun owners and firearms enthusiasts, and it's sad to see that sometimes.
That's exactly right. I would hope that other people who are pro-Second Amendment would want to support a guy who's trying to, you know, buck the system and bring a product to market, which is difficult enough dealing with the bureaucracy. I don't want to have to deal with, our own, you know, fighting me.
Yeah, the infighting, sometimes it's pretty shameful. Well, hey, Matt, I really appreciate you taking some time out of your day. I know you're busy with your family and everything, with your business. I appreciate you coming on with us, and maybe we'll talk again in the future when the palm pistol gets put into production.
Well, if you drop me an email with your email address, I'll make sure you're on my distribution list. Other folks can do the same thing, and when it's actually in production, I'm going to be sending out an announcement.
Will do. Hey, thanks
for
coming
on. Very good. Thanks for your time.
Okay, bye-bye. Wow, what an interesting story right there. You know, it's I don't know what to say. You know, you can't even sponsor a Little League team anymore as a firearms group, organization, or even a business without so much backlash from the left. It just goes to show how much we need to stick together as gun owners, people who believe in the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. We've got to stick together every time we see a challenge come from the other side, because if we don't, it's just going to slowly erode away. Our next guest is one of ARFCOM's favorites. Tom's going to be on here from Spikes Tactical. What we're going to do today is he's got a bunch of stuff to give away. He's got some buffers we're going to give away, some hats, some T-shirts we're going to give away right here on the radio show. What we don't give away on the radio show, because he's got a lot of stuff. I think he said 10 buffers, 10 hats, 10 T-shirts. So that's 30 right there. That's 30 different things. Plus, we're going to give away a Spikes upper, an AR-15 upper. It's actually an M4LE upper from Spikes. And how we're going to give that away is, I'm posting a thread right now in the industry forum, in the Spikes Tactical forum, right now. Go in there, post Spikes Tactical Rules. Spikes Tactical Rules in your post. Put those words in your post, and you will be entered in the drawing for the M4LE upper, a brand new upper from Spikes. And let me put submit right here and get this thread started. Okay, the thread is started. It's in the Spikes Tactical form, Spikes Tactical M4LE Upper Radio Free ARFCOM giveaway. Go in there, in that thread, type in Spikes Tactical Rules, and you'll be entered in the drawing. We'll have the drawing tonight at midnight West Coast time. So everybody who wants a chance at a free upper, this is only for our listeners. I didn't post this, how to enter this contest, anywhere on the website, so only the people listening tonight are going to have a chance to get in on this giveaway. So now is your chance to win a free upper from Spikes Tactical. Tom, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, John?
Outstanding. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Well, I've got a whole bunch of questions, and you've got so many cool products that I want to ask you about. But before we get into that, I said it right. It's the M4LE upper that we're giving away, correct?
Yep, it's our new M4LE.
Okay, and we'll give that away. I put the thread in the Spikes form. We'll see how many responses we get, and we'll put everybody who responds into the drawing for it. One thing I wanted to ask you before we get into some of your products is how did you get involved in firearms and the not necessarily the business of firearms, but how did you get involved in the hobby of firearms before you even got into the business?
Well, it was a hobby. It started out, I used to go to local gun shows in Fort Myers, and I ended up looking at AR-15s and trying to decide what I wanted, and I ended up buying a rifle that was supposedly a factory-built rifle, but it ended up finding out it wasn't. It was a piece-together rifle, and the rifle didn't function. So after a few months of fighting with it, I decided that I was going to teach myself how to build a rifle and build my own that functioned. And that's basically how I got started. That's also how I met Spike.
Oh, okay. And then how did Spike's, so Spike's Tactical was already going. How did you get involved with Spike's Tactical?
Well, after I went through that whole adventure with the products that didn't work, I met Spike. He was a good guy. He always had good prices. He always had nice service. I would call him up. He'd bring parts to the gun show for me ahead of time. He was always there, always had my parts, gave me excellent prices, and I developed a good friendship with him for about 6 years, I would say.
And then
that's basically how I met him. And then after I got into building these rifles, I really had a passion for it, and I was a perfectionist. So after I got going with my own little hobby on the side, I'd approach Spike and be like, hey man, you know, look at what I built, check this out, check that out. Well, it got to a point where he's like, man, you build awesome rifles. I want you to come work for me. What is it going to cost? So I eventually left my job and actually started working for Spike full time.
Wow, that's a really interesting story. It went from a friendship and your passion got you into the firearms industry. So what exactly is your role at Spike's right now?
Well, I used to be an armorer. I used to build everything that came through Spike's. Today I'm actually the CEO. I make a lot of decisions for the company, which path that we want to take. I pick and choose the product line. I develop new products. I do a lot of R&D. I wear a lot of hats. I do a lot of everything.
That's cool. I mean, that's just such a great story. I mean, you went from just a fan of Spikes to the CEO of the company. That's just totally awesome. We're going to take a few calls, Tom, as we go through and we hit a few products in that. I want our listeners to know if you're calling in, do not call in with a customer service question for Spikes. If you have a customer service problem, go through the normal channels. Do not call the radio show to deal with your customer service issue if you happen to have one, although I know Spikes is really good on their customer service. One thing, Tom, that strikes me as I go through your website is your prices are very, very reasonable. I mean, you guys have some of the best prices for complete rifles that you can find anywhere on the Internet.
Well, that was our goal for this year. This year we really wanted to become a big-time manufacturer. We wanted to take it to the next level. So our goal was to produce the highest quality rifle that you could possibly produce at the absolute best price that it could be built on, still using quality components. And I think we've done that.
Yeah, I'm looking here at some of your, 950 for a complete M4. That's That's just amazing, some of these prices. $799 for your LE carbine. Tell me a little bit about the 9mm carbine. Is that a big seller for you guys? Because I really love some of the 9mm products that are out there.
9mm, it's kind of a little niche market. Availability of parts wasn't so good, and that's the reason we decided to make our own 9mm parts. We like 9mm ourselves. We shot it. It was fun. We had a lot of 9mm submachine guns, and we liked them. Ammo was still affordable at the time. So it's something that we wanted to do, but we could never get parts like magwell blocks and magazines and barrels. So slowly but surely, we just started producing our own barrels, our own magwell blocks. We had Metalform make magazines to the specs we wanted them made to, and we basically make everything for the 9mm now. It doesn't sell real well, you know, not like some of the other stuff does, but it's nice to have that, you know? They really are good guns.
They are really cool-looking guns. If I ever get a 9mm carbine, I'm definitely getting a Spikes. I'm looking here. You've got a piston conversion for 1200 that just looks really cool, the ST15M4 carbine with the AA piston conversion. Tell us a little bit about your piston guns.
Yeah, the piston guns are real nice. We actually teamed up with Adams Arms, and how that originally came about, one day I seen a lot of stuff about piston rifles. Everybody wanted to buy a piston rifle. I've seen posts everywhere about it, a lot of people calling asking about it. So I sat down and I was like, well, I'm going to design our own piston system. So I started tossing it around a little bit. I looked into some of the things that other people had designed, and then I also looked into a lot of the patents. And I came to the conclusion that you just really can't make a new piston system because all the patents that are out there, there's already somebody who is using one design or another.
Right.
So it'd be near impossible for us to design a piston system from scratch without, you know, stealing someone else's idea. So I had to come up with another plan. So I said, well, you know, Adams Arms is...
Are you still there, Tom? Looks like we might have lost Tom. We'll get Seth to work on getting him back online here in just a minute. Just a reminder to everybody, go to the Spikes Tactical thread right now, Industry Forums, Spikes Tactical. There's a thread in there, Spikes Tactical, M4LE, Upper, Radio Free ARFCOM Giveaway. Put the code word in there, Spikes Tactical Rules. Put that in your post, and you will be entered to win the Spikes Tactical M4 Upper. It's a brand new upper. And we're going to get that out to a winner. The drawing will be at midnight Pacific time tonight. Tom, do we have you back on yet? Okay, we'll get Tom back on. We've got Big A 9999 holding. We've got James from Georgia holding online. Feel free to call in now. We've got T-shirts to give away, Spikes Tactical T-shirts. We've got Spikes Tactical hats to give away today on the show. Just call in with a question or a comment for Tom, and we'll get one of these out to you. We also have 10 of the Spikes STT2 buffers that we're going to give away on the show today. If we get around to whatever we don't give away on the show, we're going to give away as prizes in the drawing for the upper. We'll just give those away to other people who we draw out after we draw the winner of the upper. Okay, Tom, are you back?
Yeah, sorry about that. I must have got disconnected.
That's okay. That's okay. We run into some technical difficulties now and again. We've got super producer Seth with us, though, so he gets things going right back the way they are. Why don't we take some calls?
The piston
rifle. Go ahead and finish that. Yeah, please.
So after I decided that it wasn't feasible for us to build our own, I looked into what else was on the market. I'm like, well, I'm going to have another manufacturer make piston components for us that already holds patents, that's already done the research and development to develop a good system. So I went to Adams Arms. They're local to us. They build awesome products, and it was really a no-brainer. So I sat down with the guys from Adams Arms and said, hey, I love your system, but I like a low-profile gas block. I'd like to change this a little bit, change that. They made the changes for us, and they actually make those components for us as an OEM manufacturer. And we've had excellent results from them. They're great guns.
That's cool. So if you get a Spikes... if you get a Spikes piston gun, you're getting something that's it wasn't manufactured by Spikes, but it is original to you guys. No one else can get those particular systems. Is that correct?
Yeah, those piston components were manufactured to our specifications by Adams Arms, specifically the gas block. The rest of the components are interchangeable with Adams Arms standard components.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. That's a great story right there, how you got things done. I can see how it'd be hard to get any type of patent or any type of new design without infringing on all the different piston designs that are out there. We've got callers on hold. Why don't we go ahead and take a couple, Tom? What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, we've got Alden. His screen name's BigA9999 from Austin. Alden, how are you today? Alden?
Tom, how's it going? Yes. Hello?
There he is. There he is. Hey, Alden, you're on,
hello,
with, Tom from, you're on with Tom from Spikes. Go
how
ahead.
How you doing?
Hey, Alden, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, sir?
Thank you for your support, and thank you for your business. I appreciate
it. Oh, definitely.
We all appreciate it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. I've got my rifle half-finished, just waiting on a couple other things for y'all to release them, which actually kind of leads me into my first question. I mean, y'all have a lot of cool products and a lot of real high demand for it, but I've got to think it's both a blessing and a curse because I can only imagine how often y'all get, when is this coming out, emails and calls and posts in the threads, and I imagine that probably eats up about half of your day.
Well, with so much stuff going on right now, we do get a lot of that. The problem is we're doing so much at one time that it amounts to a lot. So we have our plate full for sure.
Definitely. And I was just going to say, for anyone that hasn't dealt with Spikes, you know, I've had conversations with you and with Norman and with Garrett, and it just seems like, you know, you send an email and you get a response back immediately. Y'all seem to bend over backwards for customers. Just wanted to say thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. We try our best.
Alden, you say you're working on your own build right now?
Yep, I've got the lower half is finished with the Spikes lower, and then I got a Spikes, I think, the Magpul CTR stock kit. So just kind of, they've got some pretty
parts are you
waiting looking
on?
Rails coming out. Pardon?
Oh, you're waiting for the rails.
Waiting for the rails. I'm waiting not so patiently, but trying to sit back and wait.
Well, here's the story with the rails. Rails are looking really good, actually. I try not to post a lot because I don't want to get anybody's hopes up. But as you know, the design is finalized. We received the rail extrusion. It was good to go. It was in spec to tolerance, exactly how we wanted it. We manufactured all of the barrel nuts for the whole entire first run of rails. And right now we are machining 7-inch and 9-inch rails right now. I would say they will be finished being machined within the next 2 weeks and then about a week out to anodizing. So it's not that bad.
Very cool.
Did you hear that, Alden? Hey, Alden, why don't you send me an IM, radio_free_arfcom, and I'll get you out one of these buffers that you can try it out on your home build. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Thank you, sir.
Okay, send me the IM. We'll get that out to you. James from Georgia, you're on right now with Tom from Spikes Tactical.
Yes, sir. The last guy kind of stole my thunder. I was calling about the rail system. It's holding up my build right now. I'm building a 9mm SBR and was kind of trying to find out when it was coming.
Well, I'm hoping, like I said, about 3 weeks.
Okay, I can wait that long. I just got done waiting on my Form 1 for the SBR. I finally got it back, so this project's going in high gear, and I'm going to end up waiting for that rail system for mine. It looks like a suppressor will fit down in it nice.
Well, that's actually the reason that we designed that rail. That rail was intentionally designed to fit a suppressor inside of it, and that's why it has such a large inner diameter. I think you'll be very happy once you actually get it in your hands and receive it. It'll be well worth the wait. A lot of thought, a lot of testing went into that design, and it's going to be nice. It's going to be really nice.
It definitely looks like it, just from the teaser pics y'all have on the thread there on ARFCOM.
Do you have any questions about it?
It's worth waiting for. I'm piecing this together as I go, and quite a few pieces are coming from Spikes, being a 9mm. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to hold out and use it whenever it is available.
Do you have any questions about the rail that I can answer?
I've watched a pretty much, you know, of course, there's a whole line of people watching that thread to see the latest. But the main thing I liked about it was it looks different than anything out there. And I've always bought Daniel Defense in the past, but the Trident won't fit inside the light rail. And since, like I say, I'm getting a bunch of my 9mm parts for this build from y'all anyway, figure what the heck, we'll put that rail on there as well.
Well, when we actually designed that rail, we had a few things that rail needed to do. The first thing was it had to be lightweight. It needed to fit a suppressor inside of it. It had to have some kind of an anti-rotation device built into it. And it had to be easy to install. And we were able to do all four of those things, plus some. The design was another bonus feature. It had a, you know, cool design. It has built-in QD sockets, five of them, one on each side in the front and in the rear. It also has one in the front on the bottom. The rail itself is actually made from a 6061 rail extrusion, while the barrel nut is actually 7075 aluminum with Type 3 hard coat. The finish will all be Type 3 hard coat as well on the rail itself.
Well, it should look pretty tricked out on you, on the billet 9mm upper I'm also buying from y'all, so I'm waiting. The sooner the better, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, James, before you go, are you there?
Sure. Yeah, I'm here.
What's your screen name?
Wood Motors. Oh, I'm sorry. On ARFCOM, it's Hollywood.
Hollywood?
Yep.
Okay, why don't you send me an IM, radio_free_ARFCOM. We'll get you out of Spike's T-shirt. How does that sound?
That sounds outstanding. I appreciate it, guys. Enjoy the program.
Thanks for listening.
Thank
All right.
Thank you so much.
Let's keep going. We've got more people online. We might as well knock them out
while
we can. But
yeah, let's do it.
Okay, Sean from Idaho.
I'm here.
Hey,
Sean
guys,
Idaho,
how are you?
B3, how are you, Sean?
Not too bad. Did you get my screen name? I don't think I gave your screener my screen name.
What is it?
It is FST96SE, Frank Sam Tom 96 Sam Edward.
Okay, SE. Okay, I got it. FST96SE. Go ahead. What's your question or comment for Tom?
Hey, Tom, I just wanted to, I've got a couple of comments and questions. I guess I'll start with a comment. I think Spike's Tactical is great. My second AR was a Spike's Tactical lower, which I still have. Sent it in to you guys for the spider color fill and color filling the pictograms. It's one that I picked up here local in Idaho. So you do have some good local support here in Idaho. I think you guys are great. I follow your industry forum all the time. And of course, I'm following with great interest your thread on your new rail. So I know the previous two callers have talked to you about the rail. I want to talk to you about the rail, and then I'm going to go to your billet lowers and stuff also. But specifically about the rail, Tom, any ideas on when you might get into start producing the slim rail in a 12-0?
The slim rail is going to be, I would say, about 6 to 8 weeks behind the other rail.
Okay.
The reason for that is that was a last-minute decision by me. After I had actually seen and held the prototype of the first rail, it was designed for a suppressor, I said, well, this is perfect for that market, but what do we have for the guys that want to put a rail on their go-to gun? We need that rail, too. Something slim, something that, you know, fits in your hand nice. Not to say that the other one doesn't, but I wanted something that was going to hold up to serious abuse. So we actually, me and Glenn Seekins designed the slim rail, and it's based off the same design as the other rail. It's just shrank down on the sides. We brought the sides in nice and tight. It has the same anti-rotation device as the other rail does. But we wanted something that was going to hold up to serious abuse. The first design we did, we ended up changing it a little bit, so that's why that's been delayed. So we actually just sent out for the rail extrusion to be made on that one.
Okay.
Which that takes a little bit of time. It would have been made at the same time as the other one, but we were a little late on that one because we ended up changing some things and we couldn't make up our mind. But that reel is going to be, that reel is going to be awesome. It has features that nobody else has even attempted to use yet in a rail system. That rail, again, is made from 6061 rail extrusion with Type 3 hard coat finish. And then we did something a little different than most people. Where the QD sockets are at, it also has five, one on each side in the front, one on each side in the rear, one on the bottom. We actually machined the QD sockets from titanium to keep the weight down. The barrel nut is also machined from titanium. So we're able to make a rail that's lighter than anything on the market by quite a bit. And it's probably going to be one of the most durable rails on the market as well.
Fantastic. I like the slim design. You know, I'm running Daniel Defense Omega X 12.0 FSP on one of my uppers, and I just like that narrower profile. So I was stoked to see that you guys were going to be doing a slim. The 5 QD sockets is awesome. The titanium hardware on there is gravy. I think that's fantastic. So
we've seen a need for that market, and I particularly like slimmer rails myself. So it was one of those things, we had to do it. And
good.
I said, well, if we're going to do it, we're going to make the best rail on the market. And that's what we're shooting for, is to make the best rail on the market. And it's also going to be extremely affordable.
Excellent. We like to hear that. Tom, I'm over here in Boise, so I'm not too far from Lewiston. And I got to tell you, the thought has crossed my mind to go up there and see if I couldn't shake down Seekins in Lewiston here and see if I couldn't extort one of your billet lowers from him.
Seekins is busy, I'll tell you what. we have his full capacity that he can possibly make, and it seems like every other week he's buying more equipment and he's expanding. It's going crazy. He's set up to make a serious amount of product, and he's probably the best machinist in the United States. And I actually mean that. He knows his stuff, and that's why we have him manufacture our parts for OEM.
Well, I'm looking forward to that billet lower. Any ETA on your lower?
Lowers, we got the first 50 back from anodizing the other day.
I'll take one.
But most of those were already gone because of the serial numbers, because they're all 1 through 50.
Right.
We have 250 lowers right now at the anodizer. They should be in any day. That's usually the holdup. Sometimes the platers drag their feet. But the lowers are all machined. Uppers are all machined. They're all being anodized right now. Once they come back from being anodized, we test fit the ambidextrous bolt release and the bolt catch to make sure they function properly. And that's it. Clean them up a little bit and put them in the box. So those should be really any day now.
Are you taking pre-orders for those at all?
Yes, we have been taking pre-orders for the billet upper and lower. We've got quite a few orders for them, and we actually just started taking pre-orders for the lower by itself and the upper by itself, which we didn't have intentions on doing that, but so many people asked for it. We were like, well, I must have answered 20 emails a day asking for, can I buy an upper by itself or a lower by itself? So I was like, you know what, we need to sell them separately because that's what the customer wants. So we actually have pre-orders for any combination, the set, upper, or lower.
Fantastic. Well, I'll lay down a pre-order on that lower, and I'll keep watching for that slim rail in a 12-inch configuration. Thanks, Tom.
Sean, before
hey,
you
man,
go,
thank you for your support.
No problem.
Sean, we're gonna send you a hat, so a Spikes tactical hat. Why don't you send me your contact information on IM, okay?
I'll do it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for being on the show. Let's go right along. We got people on hold. Dan from Salt Lake City. You're on with Tom from Spikes Tactical.
Hi. How you doing, sir?
Dan. I'm doing just fine. I post under Retgar on the forum. I'm sort of hoping that all this talk about the rails and the bills doesn't invalidate my next question here, but I heard you talking about how busy you are, and I was wondering what you've got in the pipeline, if there's anything new and interesting coming out that you can tell us about.
Well, we have a lot of stuff going on, honestly. We've got most everything. I try to keep everyone up to date with us about what we have going on. I really like to let the customers know what we're doing. I also like customers' feedback, you know. Hey, I think you guys should make this, or I think you guys should make that. We love that. Because we see it so often that sooner or later we're going to make it because that's what people want. And that's our goal is to make, we want to make what the customer wants and what the customer needs. We just don't want to make something and be like, here, take this. We want you guys to have exactly what you want. So we try and do that as best as we can. But most of the stuff is really posted. Somewhere throughout the forums there's talk about something that we have going on, but we just recently we did nickel boron bulk carrier groups. We're also doing our own chrome bulk carrier group, which are to the same spec. All of our bulk carrier groups are made by a military government contractor, bolts and carriers. So the standard, the chrome, and the nickel boron are all made to mil spec, 100%. We just started doing some laser engraved ejection port doors just for the heck of it. Had a couple people ask for it, and hey, can I pay extra and have you put something on my door? So I think I did like 10 or 15 different ones to choose from, just something small. I mean, we already have the machine. We already have the doors. You know, why not? The STAB muzzle brake, it's in full production now. The STAB went through a lot of our R&D, a lot. It's seen serious abuse. It holds up well. It's actually being looked at by a lot of specialized units in the military and law enforcement because of its durability. So that's in full production. We're doing our own enhanced lower parts kit. That's something new. We used to use DPMS parts kits in the past, and then we would source out the parts that we didn't like in the parts kit. Like, for instance, the hammer and trigger pins. We used the DPMS kit, but I had K&S make stainless steel trigger and hammer pins. That way I knew they were going to be durable. But we actually had our own complete lower parts kit manufactured from scratch. It meets or exceeds mil spec. It's made from all the proper material with the proper heat treating and the proper dimensions. The hammer is rounded. We did our own winter style trigger guard out of billet. It's pretty cool. I tried to make it look a lot like the trigger guard on our billet lower. We basically took the CAD file, cropped the trigger guard out of our billet lower, changed it around a little bit, and made it fit a forge lower because we liked the look and we wanted to carry it on through our forge lowers as well. Trying to think what else we have going on. We have so many things. We're doing in our enhanced lower parts kit. It actually comes with our own manufactured fire control group, and it's coated by Fail Zero with nickel boron. The trigger, the hammer, and the disconnector. The enhanced lower parts kit will also have K&S Gen 2 Matu anti-rotation pins. It'll come with an ergo grip, customer's choice of color. It'll come with the ambidextrous safety, and it'll also have all the other springs and detents. We basically designed a lower parts kit, one that you didn't have to buy the whole kit to throw away half the parts, because I've seen a lot of people do that over and over again, because most of the people don't use all the factory components. We're like, well, why not make something that comes with everything? So that's what we ended up doing. We're carrying some new products, the stuff from Smith Vortex. We're carrying sights from Samson now, which they're great sights for the cost of them. They're very affordable. The quality is excellent. We did a new Havoc. It's based off of our original 9-inch Havoc. We actually designed it to where the tube, it's side-loading. In other words, the tube pulls forward, swings out to the side, so that you can load a longer round in it without having to take the tube all the way off of the launcher like the old version. And we also changed the internal components. and the quality and materials, heat treating process, plating process. We actually designed the new Havoc to where it's going to be geared toward law enforcement, prisons, any type of guard work. We wanted something that would handle severe use. Where our old Havoc, it was basically a flare launcher. The new Havoc, we wanted it to actually be a real launcher, one that could actually launch destructive rounds, gas rounds, flares, any kind of thing that law enforcement or military might use. It's still 37 millimeter, but it's definitely beefed up, and it should hold up to a lot of abuse.
Well, at the 37 millimeter, if you're talking about destructive rounds, doesn't that run into any sort of problems with the ATF rules on that?
Well, the law enforcement and military, they don't really have rules, so to speak, of. They have gas rounds, beanbag rounds, things like that, that to a civilian, you know, wouldn't be legal unless the actual Havoc was registered as a destructive device. But law enforcement doesn't really have to do that. They have,
they have some pretty
powerful rounds. They have door penetrator rounds that will put a 2 foot hole through a steel door.
Excellent. Well, that sounds really neat, guys. I haven't built my first IR yet, but I'm definitely looking at some of your stuff for that, and I definitely like the idea of the 22 upper. So,
Dan, you did give me your screen name as Retgar, right?
Correct. I'm the guy with the VZ58 in the avatar.
Okay, we're gonna send you out one of these buffers, one of the ST buffers, for your next build, so you'll have something to get started with there. Why don't you IM me your contact information? We'll get that out to you. Okay.
Absolutely. Will do. Thanks for taking my question.
Thanks for calling the show. All right. We got one more caller online,
you.
And then I have a couple of people that sent me IM questions that I want to get to, Tom, if we have enough time here. We have maybe 5 minutes, so we got to go pretty quick here. John from Kansas on line B2.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I just wanted to say thanks for making awesome products, and also I just really appreciate the way you were talking about earlier with the previous caller. Just the fun ways you guys find to involve customers, things like the T-shirt designing contest on the forums and things. It's just kind of fun to participate in.
Yeah, I mean, we try to make it fun, you know? And I see that customers enjoy that type of thing. I hate the behind the scenes, we can't tell you who manufactures our barrels or are this or that. I'd rather be upfront with people and be honest with people because we're using quality components. Things that are made to mil-spec or by government contractors, made in the USA. So we don't have anything to hide. We want to be upfront with customers and let them know what kind of quality gear that they're about to purchase.
Yeah, it's fantastic. My question is, I have on order one of your new 6.8 SPC uppers.
I was actually just on our website looking at that.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, is the bolt carrier on that, is that also going to be nickel boron as well with the 6.8?
The bolt carrier itself is phosphate. The bolts themselves were going to be phosphate as well. I just got a phone call today that said the bolts were actually getting ready to be plated. So I kind of put a hold on that, and I think that I'm going to have the bolts done in nickel boron. Because the barrel extension I had done in nickel boron, I kind of want them to be the same. I think it'll be a lot smoother operating system. We didn't put that on our website yet, but I'm pretty sure that's the route I'm going to take. But that is an incredible upper. Incredible upper. The Lothar Walther barrels.
Those Lothar Walther barrels are
amazing. Yeah, those Lothar Walther barrels are amazing. In testing, we had that same barrel, but only at 7.5 inches, and it shot .8 at 100 yards with factory Silver State Armory 115 grain combat load.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Those,
it's going to be great.
Those things
also,
are highly accurate.
To Sarah about, because after I had ordered it, I read on your forums about your new rails coming out. I was going to put a Daniel Defense 12.0 on it. But decided to hold off on that in lieu of your rail. called in to talk to her, and she actually gave me a price on the rail. I won't say it over the air in case you're not really involved with that information, but if people are excited about the quality and the innovation on the rail, I think they're going to be equally excited about the price. If that's if the price I was quoted is any indication of what you're going to ask for them. My question is I know you're cutting out the 7 and 9 inches out of the extrusions, but I had wanted a 12-inch. Any idea how far back that's going to be?
The 12 inches are actually going in the machine next. We wanted to do the most popular one first, so we did 7 and 9. 12-inch and 10-inch are next to go in the machine.
Okay,
so
hey,
it
John,
shouldn't be much, it shouldn't be much further behind.
Thanks for calling, John. Is your screen name Cookie Head?
It is.
Okay, I got your message. I was just about to read your question. Why don't you IM me your information, your contact information? We'll send you out a Spikes Tactical T-shirt. How does that sound?
All right, fantastic. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in, Tom. Real quick here, we've only got a couple of minutes. I wanted to get to a couple of these IM questions that I got. The first one was from Deep Blue. He says, I'm listening to Radio Free ARFCOM from my CHU in Baghdad, Iraq. I just want to thank Spikes Tactical for helping my troop design an engraved receiver for a commemorative M4 build when we get back. It lets me get the word out about Spikes to a bunch of troopers who might not have otherwise heard about them. Good products, good people, and a great price. What's not to love? So it sounds like you've got some people actually in combat theater pimping some of your product for you.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff out there that people don't even realize the type of involvement that we are actually involved in. But we're out there, and I'd like to thank him for his service, definitely.
Yep, absolutely, Deep Blue. We want to thank you for your service. Why don't you send me some contact information, Deep Blue, and we'll see if we can't get you out a Spikes hat or a T-shirt for you. Just tell me what you want in your IM to me. One more quick question here before we go. This is from Chris0013. He said, can you ask if Spikes has a 45 ACP rifle in the works?
Not at this time, no, unfortunately. But I would highly recommend Ronald Williams. He does the DI 45, and I honestly think that's the best thing going right now as far as 45s go.
Okay.
So it's really no point for us to go into production with it because I don't think it'll be a real popular seller. And especially with Ronald Williams on the forums, he builds great uppers and they run flawless. So I'd highly recommend him.
Okay. So there it is, Chris. Chris0013, why don't you send me an IM and we'll get you out one of these Buffers T-shirts or hat. Our hats to you. Just send me an IM with your contact information. Tom, we're all out of time. That just flew by. I still have a bunch of questions for you that I couldn't even get to. Maybe we can have you on again here in a couple of months. What do you say?
Hey, I'll come on again next week if you want.
Outstanding. You guys put out some outstanding quality products. The quality from Spikes is just unbelievable. And the prices you do, the prices you give for the quality of product, It's just enough can't be said about it. I really appreciate everything you do. You're a perfect example of an AR15.com industry partner. You guys are just outstanding. Thanks a lot.
We try our best. We're this year we're trying to raise the bar and we're trying to set an example for other manufacturers to follow by. We want to develop and manufacture the highest quality parts at the most affordable price we possibly can, still using the highest quality components. We will never sacrifice quality for price ever. Our prices are affordable, but don't think for one minute that the components are not the best components you could possibly buy.
There it is, folks. Tom from Spikes Tactical. He's actually a CEO. He went from being a friend of Spike, actually, to a customer, and then started working for him, and now he's the CEO of the company. And we're going to be right back after this little brief message from Piccolo with John Wayne Tucker, congressional candidate in Missouri.
Skip of the episode. I think I'm going to go join the Navy. My pappy was a sailor. Sweetie is going to be a sailor, and I'm a sailor man too. Hey there, young fella. Sign me up. I want to join the Navy. I'll win it the spinach, cause I eat me spinach. I'm Piccolo the Sailor Man. Whoop, whoop!
That is a little glimpse into the mind of the one and only Piccolo. We're back on Radio Free ARFCOM. I'm your host, John Gold. We're now on with a political candidate. We try to have as many candidates as we can. We're going to try to have more this year with the 2010 election cycle. John Wayne Tucker, how are you today? John, are you there? Outstanding. It's a pleasure to have you on. Here at AR15.com, you made a little bit of a splash with your congressional advertisement with you and your AR-15, and you had a sidearm. I couldn't see exactly what kind of sidearm it was. What kind of sidearm did you have in that advertisement?
Well, that day I was carrying my car 9mm. It's an MK9 Elite, and that became a little easier for me to carry just because of its slimness. But right now I'm carrying my Glock 27 40 caliber.
Outstanding. I can't say enough about having candidates with the mindset that you do when it comes to the right to keep and bear arms. We actually had up on our forums one of the questionnaires that you went through about the Second Amendment. People asked you all kinds of different questions about how you felt about different Second Amendment issues, and I just couldn't believe some of your answers were just spot on, perfect, the way a real Second Amendment rights activist would want to hear it. Before I go into a couple of those questions, what was the impetus for that advertisement? How did you decide to go ahead and do an advertisement with your AR-15, knowing that it might be controversial?
Well, one of my campaign staff thought that it would be an awesome thing to do, and I didn't have any real genuine concerns about it because, I mean, this is what I stand for, and I know it'll be controversial with some people, but everything that I say is going to be controversial with some people, and so my position is I'm telling people who I am, what I am, and if they like that, it's great, and if they don't, well, then they shouldn't vote for me.
That's outstanding. It's very refreshing, like I said. Now, can you tell everybody about, are you in the St. Louis district? Is that where your district is in?
Yes, this third district covers South St. Louis, portions of it, portions of South St. Louis County, all of Jefferson County, and all of St. Genevieve County.
Okay, so to all our listeners in Missouri, if you live in those counties, this is your candidate right here. This is the guy that's going to get it done for you when it comes to anything about conservative values and Second Amendment rights in particular. Now, I was reading on your website, you ran last time in the last election. In the primary, you ran a very close second, and you only spent $720 on your campaign. Is that correct?
Exactly. And much of that was my own money. But I only had $720, and I did everything myself. I didn't have any help that time around. I do have some help this time around, and but $720 is all I spent. Against a candidate that that had $100,000 to spend, and which is either way is not really significant amounts of money, but I walked to a lot of doors, and I went everywhere I could go to hand out flyers, and I talked to people, and I got to know people on a personal basis on a one-to-one level, and it was a lot of work. And hot work sometimes and cold work at other times, but that's what I did, and it brought in some great results. There were four people in that race, and so if it had been a two-man race, I think the consequences would have been significantly different, and I'd already be in Congress.
Has there been any preliminary polling so far? Do you know where you're at? Does it sound like you're going to be able to make quite a significant impact this time, maybe even win the primary and get on the ballot?
Well, I've got my name first on the ballot for the primary, so I'm excited about that. That's always a help.
That always helps,
and
yeah.
And as I say, I've got some significant help this time. And as a result of that video, a lot of people from ARFCOM have come through with some money, and that's been great. In fact, if I can mention it, my website, johnwaynetucker.com, we've got an ARFCOM money bomb on there right now. So if people would like to jump in while this show's going on, or or afterwards, we could sure use those donations. And people have, you know, from this organization have been donating $5.56, and that's fabulous. You know, if we can get 100,000 people across the country to donate that amount, that would be fabulous. I don't diminish the value of any kind of contribution that people give, but if you really want to help me get to this goal of being in Congress, then, you know, if you can make it $50 or $500 if you can afford it. I know the economy's tough. Whatever you can afford, I appreciate it.
You heard it, Arf Commerce. Just like we helped Scott Brown, let's see what we can do to help John Wayne Tucker. He is far more conservative candidate than Scott Brown was, not to diminish the importance of getting the seat in Massachusetts like we did. But we can get enough candidates like John Wayne Tucker in Congress. We can make positive change. We can really affect some change. So, like he said, any amount, anything that you can give to the campaign would really help out, especially if you live in that Missouri congressional district. Dig into your pockets, get the couch cushions out, get the change out, see what you can give to get a real solid conservative candidate in for your congressional district. Now, as I understand it, you actually had a debate with Ed Martin, and he canceled it earlier this year?
It was a meet and greet, I think would have been a better definition of it. But, yeah, he doesn't want to be seen alongside of me. He doesn't want me to have any press of any kind if he can avoid it. And I think that was really what was behind that, but I can't say for sure. But the flyers were already out. You know, the people that had set this up had believed that they had confirmation from him. They'd already made flyers. They wouldn't have spent that money if they weren't pretty sure that he intended to come.
Yeah, so basically he's saying, if I debate you, then I'm giving you legitimacy. Hopefully he can try to keep you from getting legitimacy by avoiding you. But I think that's going to come back and bite him in the butt in the end. I really think it is.
Well, I think it will, but, you know, time will tell. But I'm ready at any time to meet him head on or anybody. I'm not afraid of any of those guys in Washington or wherever they are.
Mr. Tucker, let's talk a little bit about your background. How did you decide to get into politics? I understand you were a Baptist minister before that, and actually you were actually a university professor as well.
I am a Baptist minister. I was licensed in 1967 and ordained in 1969 right here in the St. Louis area at the Carondelet Baptist Church. And then I spent 27 years as a teacher in the public school system where I could have used a sidearm a lot of times, I think, but you weren't allowed to do it. But at any rate, I taught for 27 years there, and I taught American history and government. And when I was teaching American history, for the last 15 years of that time, I guess, I was also an adjunct professor for UMSL, and so my classes in the high school there were good for credit with UMSL.
Okay.
So everything that I've done has been servant oriented. I mean, that's what I am. I consider myself a servant. I'm not a politician, and I would like to make that distinction. And if you go to my website, you know, johnwaynetucker.com, you can read all about my background of service and the fact that I don't consider myself a politician. When I think politician, I'm thinking, okay, here's a guy that's generally speaking, not all of them, but generally speaking, I think they're going there for financial gain, or they're going there to advance their career in some way and maybe hopefully become president. I don't want to be president. Being representative is as high as I have any intentions of going. And I've already indicated to the people here, and you can read it on my website once again, that I'm giving back half of my congressional salary to the district. So, you know, what else can I say? This is who I am, and this is, you know, I believe that I'd be a servant, and I'll be borrowing the power of the people. The people have the power. I just borrow it, and I'm not going to go up there and say, hey, now I'm some big shot. I'm a big guy because I'm a congressman. I know that I'm up there as a servant.
That's nice to hear that. Now, I was once again, I was looking on your website. What was, I couldn't find, what was the impetus for you to get you actually decide, you know what, I need to get in politics? Was it, you were sick of the way politics as usual was ran? Was there a specific issue that you decided you needed to get in on? Or what was that actually made you get into to be wanting to be a politician?
Well, once again, let me reiterate, I don't consider myself a politician, but I'll be involved in the political realm, obviously. But, of course, my background of teaching government and American history, I had full knowledge of the many things that we've done wrong, especially in the way we've handled the financial situations in this country. And so those things were disturbing. But I always found it kind of fascinating, and I guess, you know, when I first decided to do this, it seemed like a fascinating thing to do. But the more I've gotten involved in it, the more I've seen how it's actually working, and I knew there's a way that it's supposed to work and a way that it actually works. But the more I get involved in all of the things that are happening, and especially with the turn of events as we've seen them over the past just a couple of years, I know that the things that I had been predicting that were going to happen are starting to happen now. And if ever we need someone in D.C. that understands what we're supposed to be doing, what we have been doing wrong, it's right now. We really need someone that has a moral compass. We need someone that has a concept of what we've done wrong and what we need to do to correct it, and we've got to get ourselves back on track.
I agree completely. It's amazing to see how quickly some of the winds of popular beliefs have kind of changed all the way. It's everything swung so far to the left now. They're trying to ram this healthcare down our throats, even though we don't want it. I don't have to ask you how you would vote on the healthcare bill, because I'm pretty sure you'd vote against it. But as far as the economy is concerned, what can we do with the economy? It seems like we've dug such a big hole. And to the average person like me, I'm not an economics major. I don't know the ins and outs of the markets and the way the bonds work and all that. But it just seems to me we've dug such a big hole that it's almost past a point of no return.
Well, I'm glad you asked about that question. And people listening, if you want to find out more, just go to johnwayntucker.com. I've got an article on there about the economy, and it is about the economy right now. I mean, there's no doubt about it. People are hurting badly. And it didn't take very much to know that this was coming. But just let me give you a quick little history. In, you know, when Clinton came into office, of course, he devalued the dollar. And devaluing the dollar, we know in the long run, is a bad thing, but in the short run, it's a good thing. And so for him, that gave him a great little run while he was in office, but it was already crumbling before he left. And this goes back a long, long way, but if we want to pick up in a particular spot, we can pick up with the Kennedy-Johnson administration, for example, when they took us off the silver standard. We're actually on a silver standard at that time. Of course, we have gold in Fort Knox. We've gone back and forth between gold and silver, and sometimes we were on bimetallism, which meant we were on both standards, and we've argued back and forth on which was the best, but they got rid of it. And then by the time of Nixon, he put the nail in the coffin, which allowed the Federal Reserve to just print money, and it's not backed up by anything, and we could just open up the printing presses anytime we want to. So these trillions of dollars that Obama has spent for bailouts and this thing and that thing and the other thing, what that actually is just pieces of paper that the government has printed, and they said, okay, this has value. And because we have faith in the government, then our currency has. We have a currency that's valid. But when people lose their faith in the government, well, then it's no longer valid. So there's a great possibility of us going into hyperinflation. For example, if you look at Argentina many years ago, they are a gold and silver rich nation. But they went to the printing presses and they printed money and ended up with 100 trillion % inflation.
Wow.
And how you could ever survive that, I don't know. But I've talked to students that I've had from other countries that talked about having 1,000% inflation per week. So each week it would go up by 1,000%. And that devastates a country. And a middle class would be wiped out. Our economy, a personal economy, would be wiped out. We would be in sad shape if that happened. So what we really need is to put this country on a budget. The federal government has to go on a budget, and they have to be required to stick to it just like anybody else. We need a balanced budget.
Absolutely. Balanced budget it's always talked about, but it seems like no matter what, they just can't ever get it done. It would be so nice to see a truly real balanced budget come through. Before I let you go, one more thing I wanted to touch on. I noticed you've got a couple of interesting endorsements. You've got Chuck Farneth, the gold medalist ESPN fly fisherman, and Pat Boone actually has endorsed you so far.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm happy to have more endorsements if I can find them, but I'm very happy to have Pat Boone on board. I'm sure that most people have at least heard of Pat Boone. And while he went through all of the realms of Hollywood and entertainment, this guy remained clean, squeaky clean. He's a minister himself. He ministered to people in Hollywood, and he has kept himself clean of any kind of controversy. And he's a wonderful, great endorsement. I'm just happy to have him. And Chuck Farneth, I met him just a couple of weeks ago, and what a great guy he was. He was super. And he was on board as soon as he found out who I was and what I stand for. He was on board right away, and I really appreciate that.
His website is johnwaynetucker.com. I invite and implore all ARFCOMers, please, if you can donate a little bit, if you can donate a lot, this is the type of candidate we need in Congress right here. One more quick question, John. Who is the incumbent now in your district?
The incumbent is a man that I coined the phrase rubber stamp Russ Carnahan over a year ago, and of course now my opponent. He thought that was a pretty good idea, so he's got it all over his signs and everything, which he can afford to buy, and I can't afford to buy any. But he's well known in Missouri politics, but because of his family, but the people of the 3rd District have recognized for some time now that he's just not the guy that's going to get it done for us. He voted for cap and trade. He's trying to push the health care bill down our throats. And he says he's a gun guy, but he goes and plays with a pretend gun, you know, at the police academy, a laser gun or something like that, you know. And, you know, you can say you're a gun guy all you want, but I carry mine around. So
absolutely.
I think the proof is in the pudding.
It is, absolutely. His name is John Wayne Tucker. He's running for the 3rd District. Is that correct, in Missouri?
I'm running for the 3rd Congressional District in Missouri, but I want to make sure that everybody understands that everything I do as a congressman affects everybody across the United States. And so contributing to a person in another district, if they're the right person, I think it's a good idea. I hope people will keep that in mind, and they'll go to johnwaynetucker.com and get in on that money bomb and help us out a little bit.
Absolutely. Looks like we have one caller. Let's take the call real quick. Lynn from Missouri, you're on with John Wayne Tucker.
Yes, John Wayne, I was wondering if you had heard about the Ed Martin and Scott Eckersley scandal with the Matt Blunt office.
Absolutely, and that's, of course, one of the disconcerting things here, because Martin has never been elected to public office, but he was chief of staff for Matt Blunt, who was our governor, and there was a scandal there involving email, and it was kind of hushed up and put aside after a lot of press, but Ed Martin got fired, Eckersley got fired, and Matt Blunt dropped out of politics altogether when he's a young man with a great future. So this was a biggie scandal, and of course Martin is already, he already has his hands dirty in politics with this scandal.
Thanks for the call, and we really appreciate it. John, I'm completely out of time. I really appreciate you taking the time out. I know you're busy to be with us, and we'll get you on again later here in the election cycle as it draws closer. How does that sound?
I look forward to it. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks a lot. We appreciate your stance on all these major issues. His name's John Wayne Tucker, everyone. His website is johnwaynetucker.com. Please, ArfComers, we've got the ArfCom money bomb going on there right now. Let's donate what we can and help this guy. He's a true Second Amendment rights activist. He's a true believer in the right to keep and bear arms for the people, and he will fight for us every day he's in Congress if we can get him elected. Right now, we've got Get to Know with Subnet. This one runs a little bit longer than usual because I asked him to share a couple of stories with us. So let's hit right into it before we run out of time. This is Get to Know with Subnet. Okay, this week on Get to Know, we have an ArfCom legend, an icon, if you will. The one and only Subnet is joining us. How are you today, Subnet?
I am doing pretty good.
Appreciate you taking some time out to join us, and let's get going right into the questions. Start off with the important ones, 9mm or 45?
I love my, you know, can we do Glock or 1911?
That's coming up.
That's coming up. Huh? Well, see, you know, I love and caress and treasure my 1911, but I carry a Glock 19 every day. So I guess I'm going to have to say 9.
Gonna have to say 9 on that one. Okay, beans or no beans?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is that I was for a long time I was a complete and total beans only kind of guy, and then one of the Texas guys, I think it was Photo Kirk, he'd actually sent me one of his favorite no bean chili recipes, and I tried that out, and I went, oh my god, this really is better. This is awesome. So I am a purist now, and I actually do prefer it without beans, but I'll eat it with beans. You don't have to call it chili. You can call it stew. You can call it whatever you want, just as long as it's good.
Good answer. I'm going to have to go find that Photo Kirk recipe and give it a try. There's been two or three good chili recipes put up by people on ArfCom.
It involves smoking meat. It's really good. It takes a while, but it's really good.
Okay, here's the one you wanted, Glock 1911 or something else?
I'd actually probably have to say Glock.
Even
though I love my 1911s, I love taking them to the range and the whole thing, and just loving them for what they are, all the history and everything. I'm one of those weird guys that actually prefers the grip angle on a Glock.
Me too. I'm weird that way too.
You know, because if you crank your wrist, you know, all the way forward, you know, like, you know, you can kind of get your thumb stuck out there and, like, crank your wrist, you know, kind of all the way down so your thumbs are pointing level. It's perfect.
Yeah.
When I do that and kind of bring the thing up, everything's perfectly aligned. It's great. It's easy to reset after a shot.
We got those weird wrists that fit the Glock angle, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Number 4. Married, in a relationship, or single?
Married to the lovely Mrs. Evnett.
Oh, outstanding. And does she approve and support your firearms interests and activities?
She has plenty of her own.
Good.
And,
that's the best way
yeah,
to do it.
I'm one of the few guys that doesn't have to sneak them home or, you know, go, you know, ask for forgiveness later or anything like that. She
sneak them into the safe.
She loves it. She rolls her eyes every now and then, but, you know, she's fine with it. It's fun.
How about kids? Do you have kids?
I have two kids. I have a 7-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son.
Oh, okay. So maybe the 7-year-old might have shot a little bit. Has she shot at all?
She did. I tried to start her on a little .22, and she was okay. But doesn't really show a lot of interest in it. She's around them all the time. You know, she hangs out with me when I'm out. You know, when I'm out back shooting and that sort of thing. But doesn't really have much of an interest in it though. So I don't know. Maybe when she's a little older, maybe she'll get into it a little more. But it's one of those, you know.
Oh, when she gets older and starts getting interested in guys, I'm sure she'll start getting interested in guns.
Right.
So, what exactly do you do for a living, Subnet?
I'm a voice network engineer, Cisco Voice. Yeah, so the best way I think to describe it, it's kind of a hard job to describe, but the best way to describe it is you know, I'm the guy that makes you press 1 for English. And,
okay.
And then connects you to somebody that doesn't.
That's a great
Cisco. It's IP telephony. Cisco IP telephony. I guess would be the best way to
okay.
put it.
See, that means nothing to me, but the press 1 for English does mean something to me. So.
Yeah.
when you're sitting down on a Friday evening for a long session of ArfCom, what is your drink of choice?
my drink of choice, and, you know, I have one in my hot little hands right here, Great Lakes Dortmunder Gold.
Beautiful, oh, okay.
Great, wonderful, highfalutin, fancy Yankee beer.
I've never had one of those, but that sounds really good, actually.
Oh, it is really good. It is probably my favorite beer of all time. It's up there.
See, but I live in Utah, so the beer selection here is very, very limited.
Oh, you've got the free tooth over there, right?
Yeah, you can get Higher Point, but you have to go to the liquor store to get it. And the liquor store is state-owned, so yeah. So your hours there are very limited as well. Who is one of your favorite posters on ARFCOM? Whose post do you look forward to reading?
Swing Set. I don't know if that's fair, though, because he's a friend of mine.
Oh, that's fair. That's totally
but he is
fair.
An ARFCOMer.
Okay.
Swing Set, for sure. Oh, legendary in the OP thread, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. He's one of my favorite, just outside of ARFCOM, he's one of my favorite human beings ever. The guy is just an awesome guy. I could go for, but he's definitely one of my all-time favorites. There's a lot of guys. I've never actually met an ARFCOMer in person that I didn't like, and I've met tons.
Oh, okay, and we'll get to that. I'll ask you, that's like question 15, I think.
That's right.
Who is your least favorite poster on ARFCOM?
Oh, man, don't make me do that.
Okay, just give me a type of poster that you don't like. Doesn't have to be an individual.
I don't know. The only ones that I don't like, I think they've ended up being banned. It's just, my least favorite type of poster. Man, I don't know. That's actually a really hard one. I'm actually drawing a blank on who I don't like.
Fair enough. Really fair enough. Maybe, but you're a likable guy, I guess. You just like everybody.
I'm even trying to think. It's like, gosh, I've argued with some folks, like, pretty hard. There's a guy, gosh, I forgot his name. I don't even, maybe he's my least, okay, I might know one, but I don't really know much about him. There's a dude that used to have, I'm trying to remember his screen name. He's got a list in his signature line, he has a list of all the people on his ignore list, and I'm one of them. I don't even know who he is. I'm trying to remember. I found it once. Somebody did IM'd me and said, "Do you know who this guy is? Because look at his signature line." And I look at it, and he had me in there and like Rusted Ace. Who doesn't? I mean, who doesn't love him? That guy's like awesome.
Oh yeah,
I think Mister was in there.
Some of the people that people choose to ignore is interesting to me, but I understand it. I do. I understand it. To each his own. Who is your favorite mod or site staff?
Favorite mod or site staff? My favorite one.
Doesn't have to be your absolute favorite. Who do you
our
like?
Wonderful, our wonderful wooden shoe wearing professor.
Oh yeah, DK Prof. He's an interesting guy.
He might be up there. And he's somebody that every once in a blue moon, when he actually gets the opportunity, he'll actually chime in on an economics topic. He taught economics briefly for a little bit, from what I understand.
Oh, I did not know that. See, I tried to get him on a get to know, and he chickened out.
He doesn't want to work anymore, so he rarely does it. But when he does, it's fascinating to read. He's a really, really smart guy, nice guy, funny guy.
Okay, let's see here. If you could live anywhere other than where you live now, where would that be?
Probably state-wise.
Anywhere.
Kentucky. Every single time that I'm down in Kentucky, I don't want to leave.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough. I have never been to Kentucky, so. That's one of the places.
It is absolutely beautiful. The people are really nice, and maybe it's because every time I go down, it's for Knob Creek or something. So maybe that's influencing it.
Yeah, I have a feeling that might have something to do with it.
It's a beautiful state, a rather free state. So yeah, Kentucky.
What is your favorite firearm that you currently own?
There's a little M forgery that is my ongoing little project that I'm always adding to. So I suppose, hey, it's AR15.com. It happens to be an AR-15. It is my absolute favorite rifle ever, ever, ever. And there's one that I happen to be working on now that happens to be my little favorite.
So is that a personal build?
It is a personal build. It's a it's cobbled together with stuff that I've got here and there. There's a it's a stag lower, a Bushmaster 14.5-inch. You know, barrel, a white oak armament, you know, a bear upper that I had picked up, a Colt bolt carrier, an EO thingy for an optic. I don't know. You can get on the list. It's just a little tactical limb forgery.
Cool. How does the upper and lower fit together? Pretty nice?
Very, very nicely. Very, very tight.
Good to hear that. If you could have any one firearm that's legal for you to own that you do not currently own, what would it be?
M16. And the only reason it's a money thing. In fact, I'm actually every month setting aside the coin for it. So, you know, $10,500, $11,000. You know, a nice shooter, and I will own an M60.
It's horrible how much the price is. That's just terrible. That's terrible.
It is. It's the only reason I don't have one right now. I'm in the middle of moving, so it kind of slowed me up a little bit. But yeah, definitely an M16.
When was the last time you went shooting?
Let's see. When I was home last week, so that would be on Saturday.
Oh, okay, good. Talk the talk, walk the walk. That's what we like.
I got to do is walk out back.
So. Oh, nice. So you have a range right there at your house, huh?
I do.
Oh, lucky, lucky you. Lucky you. I'm jealous. I'm always jealous when people can shoot on their own property. I'm going to rectify that in the next few years.
When I move, I don't think I actually, in this move that I'm doing, I actually don't think I'm going to be able to find a property in the price range that I'm looking at in this new area that where I'll be able to do that. But as long as it's close by a gun range, I'll be happy. As long as I don't have to drive more than about 10, 15 minutes or so to go shoot, I'll be happy. But, yeah, for now, it is cool.
Okay. We talked about this earlier. Have you ever met a fellow ARFCOMer in real life?
Many, many, many. In the last job that I had, I used to travel all around the country doing, phone system installs and things. Every time that I would show up in a new state, I would always pop in the hometown forum and, say, hey, I'm here, show me a good time kind of a thing. So I have, recently I was in Texas for my own company here. I don't do consulting anymore, but my own company has some offices out in around Dallas, so met a ton there. All over the country, tons, too many to name. And every single one of them has been awesome. I've never met one in person that I didn't like.
Oh, okay, cool. That you answered the next follow-up question for me. That was going to be, what was your impression? But it sounds like it's very positive.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, the ones that you don't like, you know, the ones that, maybe give you a little bit of trouble online or anything like that, the ones that people don't like, they never seem to show up to the in-person, gatherings. They just kind of stay home. It's like a filter. Yeah, imagine that, right? So it's kind of funny thing. If you ever get a chance to meet one in person, you will probably meet a great one. I've never met one I didn't like.
That's good to hear. We've had mixed reviews, but for the most part, it has been positive. Okay, what is your favorite non-GD section of the forums?
Probably the Lifetime, the Lifetime member forum, actually, which kind of sucks because a lot of the people listening won't see it or check it out or anything. And only because Goat Boy is really, really cool in that particular forum. He posts there quite a bit, and he lets the Lifetime members know about upcoming things before the rest of the site gets to know about it. Ideas that he has. We give him a lot of input on things that we'd like to see changed and that sort of thing, and so it's pretty fascinating. I love seeing the what's coming next for the site.
Yeah, that's very cool, and he always does a lot of good work. I said I was going to get one of these new Lifetime memberships when they opened it back up, and they opened it back up, and now I don't have the money to get one right now, so I might have to wait till the next go around. Unfortunately,
if he had done that, he did that at like just the right time when I got mine. If it was even 2 months later, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Okay, let's see here. What fire? Have you ever gotten rid of a firearm and regretted it?
And regretted it? No.
Oh, okay. So when you get rid of them, you know you're done with them when you get rid of it.
Yeah, the last one that I got rid of was a one of those California only AR-15 lowers. It was a Fab 10, a fixed 10 round magazine. The only way to load the thing was to pop the rear takedown pin, pivot the upper forward. Stuff around. Californians have a lot better options now than they did when I lived there, but that was a particularly bad one that I used to bring it, like when I moved here, I used to bring it to all the different shoots and things and kind of show it to people and go, remain vigilant or this is what you'll be having, it was kind of a joke, and I decided I didn't need it anymore, so I put it up on the E and sold it.
I can't believe someone bought it from me.
I was happy to see it go, and the Californian that bought it was happy to have a close facsimile of an AR. So, it was a win-win. But no,
I can't believe someone actually bought it. That's funny.
They wouldn't now. Californians have a lot better options now than that particular lower. It was one of the early attempts to get around the ban.
What was the first firearm you ever shot?
I think about that for a second. It was a little 38. I don't remember exactly what model it was. I was a kid. And a friend of the family had this. It was probably the little Smith & Wesson little 38 revolver, you know?
Uh-huh.
I don't even remember. It's been so long.
So you were just a kid. That's good, though.
I don't remember the exact. I don't remember. I remember it was a 38, but I don't remember the exact model or anything like that.
Tell me about your avatar.
Oh, that. That is actually a crop taken from. We used to have a thing that we did here in Ohio every year. We called it the Frozen Buckeye Shoot, and what it was in January, we'd all show up at this place called Miller's Campground, which was a camp. It's kind of a campground, I guess, but there's usually I actually think people live there all year in trailers. It's funny. But anyway, they had a great shooting range there, and that's where we would go. A lot of the guys, it's in central Ohio, and a lot of the guys that lived around there would shoot there all the time. It's closed now, but at the time it was open, they had a cool range back there where you could bring out. I mean, there was a guy one time that brought. Like the work did Diebold and brought an old ATM machine out to shoot up. I mean, how fun is that?
Oh, wow.
And so we used to go out every winter. We'd go out and you'd freeze your nuts off and shoot and the whole thing. And then when we were all done, we'd retire. We would rent the clubhouse out for the weekend at the place. There's people sleeping on pool tables. There's a bar in there. You know, it was great. And so that picture, I should actually post the full picture sometime. I think I have. Was taken, swing set's actually next to me, and there was a friend of ours, Brian, when he gets real, really drunk, he starts proselytizing. So he does like the greatest preacher bit ever, ever, ever. And he's drunker than drunk. He's got his arm around me, kind of doing this like, preacher thing to me. And I've got this, and somebody shows up, he's swing set's like rolling his eyes and he's, drunk and hanging all over me. And, one of the gals there had her camera and I just kind of like looked up from him at the camera with that stupid, stupid, stupid grin on my face. And, she snapped the picture and I was looking at it and went, oh, that would be hilarious if I cut just my face out and used it for an avatar. So that's where it came from.
Oh, that's funny. That is too funny. I always wondered for a long time. I was like, is that him? Is that not him? Is that him? And then finally I saw you on Sunday radio. I was like, oh my gosh, that is really him.
That'll work.
All right. Now, one question I have to ask you about before I let you go is, what is the story with the leather chaps, San Francisco, and weightlifting?
Yeah, that one. So I used to work for the city and county of San Francisco. I was a network engineer for the city and county of San Francisco, the Department of Building Inspection. And while I was there, there was a coworker of mine that he wanted to get in shape and thought that maybe I'd like to join him. So we had gone to this. I don't go to gyms. I never go to the gym. I'm uncomfortable there. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. You know, whatever. I feel like a hamster on a wheel. Screw it. I'm saying that, sucking down a beer right now. But, I was like, what else do I have to do for lunch, other than stuff my face? So he's like, we can walk down to this gym. It's like right down the street and walk to the gym. So we go to the gym. And I don't know what the heck I'm doing. And I noticed that this gym offers personal trainers. And so I'm like, oh, okay, cool. This guy, he'll help me out and motivate me and all that kind of thing. And okay. Show me how to use all the stuff and what to do, what not to do, so I don't do anything stupid. And I get the most flaming, flaming gay dude ever, ever, ever. but a fine looking gay man. Very fit, very, very, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know, I'm in San Francisco. It is what it is, you can't be,
You knew what you were getting into, huh?
I could surprise me anymore. And I rationalized it, too. I said, who better to make me look my best than another gay man, right? So he did that, and he was doing training and the whole thing. And this went on for about a week, and I wasn't really feeling it, and he was really strange. and I was just like, look, I'm not a workout guy. I don't want to. And if I do, I don't want to do it at the gym. All right, screw this. So I stopped going. He calls me And I have not told my wife at all that, you know, that I've been going to the gym or anything in San Francisco. She has no idea. So I stopped showing up after about a week, and he calls my house and leaves a message on my answering machine. No background info, no anything. He just leaves a message and goes, "Hi, Alan. We missed you, and we haven't seen, oh gosh, it's such a beautiful day today. And we haven't seen you in a little while. We all really missed you, and you were looking really good, you know, there for a while." He's just, this is the kind of message he leaves. Nothing else. This is kind of how it goes. And my wife, I come home, my wife is pissed. And she's like, "Come here." And she plays, but she's like, "You get this job in San Francisco, just listen to this." And she plays, you know, the answering machine message, and I'm like, "Oh, hell." You know, like, "Oh, God dang it." So that was kind of funny. And then you asked about, that's actually two separate stories. So that's one, the gay guy and the working out and the weights and everything. The other one, the chaps, is I had shown up, I had ridden my motorcycle to work, and I have no idea why, but it was kind of cold out, and I didn't have any other pants. So I said, "Well, you know, I had a pair of leather chaps, which I almost never wear." And I thought, "Well, okay, that'll be cool. It'll keep my legs reasonably warm." So I rode my motorcycle up, and I had the chaps on and everything. And we had walked into for lunch. I got to show up whenever the heck I wanted. So I showed up about lunchtime, and my coworker, the same guy that convinced me to go to the gym with the gay personal trainer, said, "Hey, meet me up over at this place, you know, here on Van Ness for some food, you know, for lunch when you get here." I said, "Okay." So I show up about lunch, and it's like this total vegan place. This asshole. It's this total, like hardcore vegan place. You go in this thing, and all the employees working there are wearing like white sheets and sandals. And, you know, I mean, this is like the most hippie of hippie places you have ever seen. And I walked in covered head to toe in leather. Leather jacket, pair of chaps on, which looks horrible. You don't want to wear leather chaps in San Francisco. It's kind of a, you know, in some parts of the country, they'll go, "Okay, you know, the guy's on a motorcycle, and he still looks like a douchebag because he's wearing chaps." But, God, no, don't do it in San Francisco because, well, you know. And but I go into this total vegan place dressed head to toe in leather, and I mean their mouths hit the floor, but they were still really cool. I ordered a vegetarian. They had a vegetarian chili. It was a tofu chili, which was the only thing I could think to order on the menu. And I'm like, "I'm just curious what this tastes like." And I'm not going to call it chili because, come on, there's no meat in it, for crying out loud. It was tofu. It was really good though. It wasn't chili. I won't call it chili, but whatever it was actually pretty good. And they were really cool about it. And
that's
funny. I don't think they'd be what else to think.
Yeah, exactly. They're probably a little bit intimidated, too. Like, who would be brave enough to bring leather chaps into the vegan place?
Who the hell does that and comes into a total hippie vegan restaurant place? Yeah.
Oh, all right, so. Subnet. We're out of time, man. I really appreciate the stories and taking some time out for us to get to know you today. Keep up, Subnet Radio. We love it. We love getting the requests in. I listen to it every now and again when you're on, and we appreciate it.
You know,
it.
I always hope. Can you answer this? Did I in any way inspire or plant a little seed for Radio Free Arkham?
I will admit you did.
Say,
I will admit you did, because the very first time I saw Subnet Radio, I was like, "Oh, cool. Arfcom has their own little radio station." And I went and listened,
yeah.
And it was all music.
No,
like,
Arfcom,
oh,
doesn't.
I was like,
they would,
oh,
disown,
okay.
Me if the site staff all listened religiously.
I'll bet more listen than you know, though. A lot of us just get on and listen as a guest, and we just leave it.
Chat or nothing. Well, cool. I aim to please.
All right, my man. Take care, and we'll talk to you next time.
You got it.
Oh, I want to thank everybody who was on the show today. Subnet, thank you. Yes, you did inspire Radio Free ARFCOM with your Subnet Radio. I got to give you some credit for that. Remind everybody, go to the Spikes Tactical Forum in the industry section, Spikes Tactical, put the code words in Spike's Tactical Rules on your post. Please only post once. It's going to cause me a headache going through as it is. And making sure everyone only entered once. Enter one time. Get yourself in. The drawing will be tonight. The drawing will close at midnight Pacific time tonight. Also, everybody, check out johnwaynetucker.com. Please go donate some money to this guy. He's an outstanding candidate. I mean, we just don't get candidates like this all the time. I want to thank our super producer, Seth, for making everything go smooth tonight. I want to thank Merrill, as usual, every week for all the help with the links and the pictures and the Radio Free ARFCOM thread. I want to say God bless our troops and God bless America.
The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache.